Again, we're very thankful to see each one here tonight. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's our heart's desire, it's our prayer tonight, that you would come to know Him as your Savior tonight. There'll be another gospel meeting here tomorrow night, but we don't know about tomorrow. God only gives us one day at a time. And this is your day of opportunity. If you have a Bible, would you turn please to John and chapter 19. There are two statements that I'd like to bring before you tonight. The first one is the statement, "Behold the man." Behold the man. And the other one is a verse that we're going to read. And these statements were both made by the same man, Pilate. The other statement is, "What will you do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" John chapter 19 and verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Now we turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19. And here again we have the same position that we read in John, and that is that the Lord Jesus is here before Pilate. Pilate was a judge. Verse 19. When he, that is Pilate, sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Now before I get into my message, I just can't go without giving you a little bit of my testimony. The verse that's already mentioned tonight, "When we were without strength." Now I never even thought about that part of the verse. And I don't think he read the tail end of the verse. But "when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Those words, "Christ died for the ungodly." I was 10 years old, and I was sitting under the meetings of Mr. Albert Joyce, and I knew I had to be saved, and I wanted to be saved. I did not want to be left behind. There was one thing that convicted me of my need of salvation, and that was being left behind. I knew the Lord was coming. And as my uncle talked to me that night, he quoted this verse, "Christ died for the ungodly." And I just thought about that. I thought, you know, if Christ died for the ungodly, he died for me. And I knew that my sins were forgiven. I knew that I had faith in what God said. What other burden was sin? And the burdens were lifted. And what a night. November the 15th, 1955, at the age of 10. But tonight, we want to bring the statement before you. Behold the man. Behold the man. Who is the man that we want you to behold tonight?
He is the one that is written about on the wall behind me. The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
The Son of God, Jesus Christ. And did you know tonight that this man, Jesus, he loved you. And he loved you. And he died for you. Have you ever accepted that truth for yourself?
Christ died for my sin.
Sin is a problem, and this man, Jesus, is the answer. You might say tonight, how can we really know? How do we know what is really right? You can go even in this city of Kamloops, and there are so many different religions that are up there. And you can go from one church to the other, and you will hear different things from one church to the other as to how to get to heaven. And no doubt it is very confusing. But God made salvation very simple. Salvation is not in a church.
Salvation is in a person. This person, the Son of God. The Son of God who loved you and he gave himself for you.
He could tell you that I am the way. You're wondering the way to heaven? You don't need to get an attorney to try to figure it out for you. The Lord Jesus would tell us simply in one verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. No man can be in heaven except he come through Jesus Christ. Again, so simply, he could remind us, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, we come into this building, there are a number of doors. And if somebody said to you, I'll meet you at the door, saying you're a visitor and you kind of want to have somebody with you so you don't come in alone. And your friend said, well, listen, just come and I'll meet you at the door. And you go to that door and not there. Come around to this door and not there. And there's another door downstairs. But not so with heaven. Only one door, and only one way, and only one person, Jesus Christ. What about you tonight? Pilate, as he brought the Lord Jesus before the crowd that day, there he was, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, and there he was, a crown of thorns upon his head. There he was. His back was beat till it was like a plow field. His face was punched and they plucked the hair from his face. And they spat upon him. And all of that. And nailing him to the cross could never save us from our sins. It wasn't the physical sufferings of Christ, but it was in those hours of darkness when God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sin is a problem, and sin must be punished. And tonight, we want you to behold this man who died, who was punished for our sins. So that we will not have to be punished. The one who loved you and gave himself for you. Behold the man. What does this word behold mean?
Well, we don't use it much anymore. We use just a very simple term. If we're outside or we're traveling down the road and we always look for wild animals, for deer, whatever it might be as we're traveling. And you're going along pretty fast, and there's a deer up here in the field. And you know, if I said to my wife, there's a deer up there. See that deer? Oh, we would be by it, and she would miss it. On the other hand, She's looking out there and sees the deer, and she says, look at the deer out there. And she's looking out there, and I'm hard of hearing, and I didn't hear. Now that may seem funny, but you're not hard of hearing tonight. And even if you're deaf, you can hear the voice of God. God makes sure that there is no one that can stand before Him and have an excuse. So this word behold means this. Look! Pay attention! Tonight is your night of opportunity. Tomorrow might be too late. Who has your attention tonight? Who are you looking at tonight? Perhaps you're here tonight and you got that little cell phone or that little game thing, and it's so tempting just to be playing on that or to be texting. Not to have your attention tonight, that you can miss your opportunity of God's great salvation. Behold the man. We have seen sometimes on the television, watching the Olympics, and there a person is running, or perhaps they're doing the speed skating, and they just take their eyes off the goal, and they just look to see where they're at, and they lose attention, and they lose their rhythm, and they lose their goal. That's only the Olympics. But tonight, we ask you, who has your attention? What are you thinking about tonight? Where are your thoughts just now? How old are you tonight? Are you old enough to be saved? We had a grandson at the age of 3. We'd have 10 babies in Marysville. And at those 10 babies, after about a week, he would be so miserable. And his mom and dad finally come to the conclusion that it's the gospel that is touching his little soul. I can't just remember when he got saved, but he was probably 6 or 7 when he got saved. You're old enough tonight to be saved. You've heard the truth often. I've heard it all my life. I could tell others how to be saved. So the night that I got saved, I beheld this man Jesus. And I saw that I was the ungodly, and that Christ died for the ungodly. Why is it so important that we get saved? The Bible would tell us that we must all give an account. That is, we must all stand before this man, Jesus. In our world today, giving an account doesn't mean a whole lot. A child can do something which is wrong, and the parents just kind of look at them and wish they were better. And you almost know that a child is not disciplined, and a child doesn't have to come to terms with his parents when they're in a store, and that child is embarrassing to their parents. They'll yell and scream. Well, we can't do that with God. God says that we will give an account of our sins. We will give an account of what we have done with this man, Jesus. Romans chapter 14 says, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then every one of us must give an answer to God as regarding my sin. Behold the man. I'm not sure if Pilate really knew who this man was. I don't know if he was just sarcastic, but I can look the crowd tonight and pretty well tell that you all know who this man is. But do you know that he loved you and he gave himself for you? We must all have to deal with him.
within our lives, there are influences that create us as to whether we may make the right choice or not.
Two nights before I was saved at this gospel meeting, I was really burdened with sin. And I said to myself, I am not going out tonight. I am going to get saved. And there, at the Taylor side, if you're related to the Taylors, you have lots of cousins. And I can still remember that night. The meeting was over. I said, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to get saved tonight. And I sat partway back. I can remember sitting there, and the people were going up the aisle. And for some reason, I looked toward the aisle. And some of my young cousins were going up. You know, you talk about body language. They just kind of smiled at you. And they smirked. You talk about being proud. Wow. Salvation. Heaven or hell? I'm just a smirk, a smile. I got up that night and I walked out. To think if I would have missed salvation because of a smile. But you know, God is gracious. I had a little old aunt and she was behind me. And very quietly, she just tapped my shoulder. And she said, Brian, I know you want to be saved. Brian, I'm praying for you. That just touched my heart. And I've never heard anybody say that they prayed for me.
Two nights later, the grace of God. But that influence of a smile. Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He had many voices in his life at that time. One of those voices we read about, it was his wife. And I can just see Pilate at the judgment hall, the crowd out there in front, and perhaps two or three of his soldiers there beside him. And Pilate's wife comes in, maybe from the side, and she gets the attention of one of those soldiers, and she beckons them to come over. And they went over to Pilate's wife. And she says, I got a note for Pilate. Could you give it to us? Perhaps this soldier said, this has never happened before. We're in court here. But it was Pilate's wife. And so he comes over, and maybe he just kind of taps Pilate on the side, and he gives him the note. And when Pilate has the chance, he looks at it.
Now remember, Pilate is no different than you and I. Pilate had a soul to be saved. And he had this man, Jesus, right in front of him. And he asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And Pilate took that note, and he read it. And the note read this way, Pilate, have nothing to do with that just man, your wife.
You know, that was impossible for Pilate. Pilate was a judge. And he had to make the judgment call that day.
Is this man before him innocent or guilty? He had to do something with this man, Jesus. And for you tonight, the same message is impossible. You have to do with this man, Jesus. And we would plead with you tonight that if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that you would consider this man Jesus tonight. That you would consider your soul, your sin, and your eternity. Before you is heaven or hell. There is no in between. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. And God wants you in heaven. And Jesus Christ wants you in heaven. How do we know that? Because the Son of God loves you and He gave Himself for you.
And then the Pilate said to the crowd, what shall I do
with this man, Jesus. Don't ask the crowd. The crowd has not changed from Pilate's day to today. And the crowd cried out, "Away with him! Crucify him! We'll not have this man to rule over us." And so now Pilate, he's got this going through his mind. Have nothing to do with this man. Crucify him. And then there was the Jews. And they said to him, "Pilate, your career is at stake. If you let this man go, you'll lose your job." What is there in your life that is holding you back from this man, Jesus? Pilate was a weak governor. He let other things come between him and Christ, him and his salvation. And as far as we know, Pilate died without ever knowing Christ as his Savior. And so the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate made a fatal mistake. He looked up over the crowd and he asked the crowd, "What will I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" If you want to be confused about it, you ask the crowd. The crowd here tonight, this would be a good one to ask. But don't go to school, don't go to the mall, and ask the crowd. I'll tell you who you ask tonight. If you go away from this meeting tonight and you don't get saved, and God preserves you and you get home, when you get home, in the quietness of your bedroom, you walk up and look in that mirror on the wall, and you look at that person in the mirror, and you ask that person in the mirror, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do with the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me?" And you wait for the answer to come. You are the only one that can answer that question. Mom and Dad, they have prayed for you. Mom and Dad would tell you to come. Your safe friends would tell you to come. Friend, you must answer that question. You don't know what tomorrow, but God has given you tonight. God is a wonderful God. You know, there's not normally a gospel meeting here on Saturday evening, but there's one here tonight because of you. Well, you buy up the opportunity. Behold the man. What are you thinking about just now? Where are your thoughts? Where is your mind? Is it on your soul? Is it on eternity? Will you be in heaven? Or will you be lost forever? In hell for all eternity. Friends and night,
don't put it off. Remember,
what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Oh, that you would accept him tonight, shall we pray.